My heart really spoke to me when Bitcoin entered my field that this is the money of the future, because the nature of reality is that these structures, they are just temporary. It's like temporary power structures. So in the financial system, we have these banks and institutions controlling the money flow. That's just sort of temporarily in a one Earth cycle. But if we look at real core of the universe, it's actually decentralized.
This week, we are joined by my good friend and mentor, Sam Gustafson, for a conversation about Bitcoin and the decentralization of consciousness. Sam Gustafson is a visionary thinker bridging decentralized finance and higher consciousness. Originally from Sweden, he has spent over 20 years exploring multidimensional awareness. A Bitcoiner since 2015, Sam has received profound visions of a future built on a Bitcoin standard, one rooted in unconditional love rather than fear. He sees Bitcoin not just as money, but as a reflection of decentralized creation, mirroring the way sovereign beings interact beyond centralized control. In addition to his work in consciousness and flow, Sam has had a global career in international education, building thriving arts communities across multiple countries. As the founder and director of Creative Arts Academy in Ljubljana, he experiments with high consciousness business models led by creative flow and trust in natural expansion. As a flow coach, Sam helps individuals, groups, and businesses align their hearts, unlocking sovereignty, limitless potential, and joyful manifestations in life and work. Sam is truly one of the most interesting people I've met in my Bitcoin travels, and I'm so excited to have him on the show. I hope you enjoy this conversation. All right. Welcome to another episode of the Block Reward Podcast. This week, we are joined by a very special guest, Sam Gustafson. Sam and I have been working together for some time now in the field of Bitcoin and expanded consciousness. And this is the nature of the conversation today. Sam, I'm so happy to have you on the show. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me here. It's a real pleasure to engage with you in this way.
Yeah, I guess for the benefit of the listeners, we've been speaking for some time, but this is actually the first time we've chatted with video. So it's very cool. Maybe Sam, for the benefit of our listeners, could we just first start, tell us a little bit about yourself and some of the work that you do.
My work is quite multidimensional, and I don't know how familiar your listeners are to this concept, but it is the ability to interact soul to soul and soul to soul groups, rather than doing the interaction in the physical world. I see more the interaction in the physical world as a echo of the interactions that happens node to node, as we say in the Bitcoin space, but soul to soul, as we say in the spiritual space. So if I back up a little bit to give some background to how I came to this position, is that I was a very ambitious musician when I was a teenager. I was practicing a lot, doing a lot of networking, playing with lots of bands. And already at the age of 21, I found myself living the dream that I had been striving towards. So having good flow with concerts, tours, album recordings. And on top of that, I bought an apartment, and that just increased, more than doubled in the value over a year. So I also was financially abundant. So being 21 years old and being so ambitious and then reaching the dream so quickly made me look at the world from a different perspective, because some people spend their whole life striving towards this dream. And then there I was going very quickly and then looking at what's happening here. How are people feeling? How do I feel? Am I happy? And are the people around me happy in these celebrity parties and so on? And I saw that it's some kind of trick, because people are not kind. They were not kind to each other, and they were kind to me as long as it benefited them. But then they could just turn around and do something else. This is what we call a conditional love, right? And it's everything is made of conditions. So that's when I decided to drop everything and go to India. And then in India, I had a series of different initiations into the multidimensional realms, where I was in different ways just thrown into this spirit world, meeting all these beings. And that's when everything changed. And then I had to really figure out that spiritual world, like how to interact with these beings and what happens when I do this in spirit world, what happens in the physical reality. And then I was working this in parallel, like, okay, I figure out this physical reality, how to navigate there, and then figuring out the spiritual world. And here I am, like 25 years later, and now navigating both of these worlds in some kind of flow. I actually call myself flow coach, when we just let go of the fears and trust the universe. That's actually how I figure out both of these worlds. So the physical world, you can just trust the flow, and also in the spiritual world. So it's this letting go of control and then allowing things to unfold. And that's how we met each other, because you wrote the book Tao of Bitcoin, which is Tao is sort of flow, right? So that's a little bit about me. And now you can speak.
Yeah, we were connected through Seb Bunny, a very serendipitous connection. And, you know, you had been connecting some of your learnings and thoughts to the Bitcoin space, and maybe in the vein of the of being a Bitcoin podcast, we could start there. This concept of the organization of Bitcoin nodes and those who operate those nodes as sort of active participants in the Bitcoin network. And this is sort of a model for you of human connectivity. And I'd love for you to just, you know, spend a little bit of time talking about this concept as you have understood it.
Yeah, for me, the key word with Bitcoin is this decentralization, because this is what I found in the spiritual world. First, maybe we try to find teachers, we try to follow someone, and we try to learn from them. But ultimately, it's a sovereign place. I call it like the creation network. It's like decentralized creation network, where each soul is responsible for their own journey, and they can experience anything because it's outside duality. So they can try something bad or can try something good. And those are just like lessons and gathering experiences. So my heart really spoke to me when Bitcoin entered my field, that this is the money of the future, because the nature of reality is that these structures, they are just temporary. It's like temporary power structures. So in the financial system, we have these banks and institutions controlling the money flow. That's just sort of temporarily in a one earth cycle. But if we look at the real core of the universe, it's actually decentralized. So when I linked this monetary system, Bitcoin, with my spiritual journey, it became very interesting. And yes, it's been an interesting journey creating concepts, bridging the spiritual world with the financial world. Similar like you with your book, Tao of Bitcoin.
Yeah, I you know, share with you a lot of this interest in energetics, and this is, you know, how I decided to write the book, I suppose, and partly why we found each other for to end up eventually here. And there is a really sort of strange and frustrating aspect of the way money works, in that it is centralized. And in the common, you know, the legacy financial system is, yeah, I suppose we would agree that it sort of like it works opposite to the natural way of a sort of every other process that unfolds in nature or in the physical world.
Yeah. So the Tao, then, the flow, it just is. It just unfolds. And centralized system is control. So you could say that this is the opposite. So we build these control structures, and then we feel safe. So many humans on the planet is basing their life on control, which is then from coming from fear. And you can also say that this is safety on the outside. So safety in people, safety in money, things. So you have this whole operating system, I call it then, where it's outside in. So many people on the planet still is living this external safety and holding on to things with attachments. But many of us are switching to the new operating system where we just put trust inside and we allow the external reality to just shift and change, moving the trust from external things and people to internal essence. And when we do that, the whole universe starts conspiring for us. So we don't need to control. We let go of control and things just show up, things just come to us.
It's probably no accident, reflecting on 2020 and 2021 as a sort of a large planetary scale control event. And it was a very common refrain during that time to see the overuse of the word safe and safety. No one will be safe until this happens. You know, keeping people safe. The mission is keeping people safe. And yeah, I have had this reflection for a while. Dave Bradley, who was on the show a long time ago, has this idea that the current monetary system and even the way we structure and think about organizing governments is rooted in a much sort of antiquated idea about the need to provide safety. So the nation state itself in its current incarnation has its roots truly in the role it used to play in protecting people's private property. And Dave's concept is that with Bitcoin now, people have the ability to protect their private property through encryption. And so there really is no longer a need for the external. And this is not true for everyone in the world. Obviously, some people do live in sort of physically unsafe places. But for the majority of people living in the Western world, that primary purpose for the superstate existing is actually obsolete.
Yeah. And then you have this book, The Sovereign Individual, that is popular among Bitcoiners. Speaking of this world, where for me is the new operating system. Now, there are different degrees of this. So we can have external abundance and we can be sovereign beings. But what we have been talking about is this internal abundance. And when we actually co-create our own reality by working soul to soul or node to node, where we create alliances on soul level that is just reflected in the physical reality. So I don't know how familiar your listeners are with this, but the basic idea here is that the physical reality is just like an output. So the actual connections are between our souls, and then it happens in this physical reality. So if we are in the old paradigm, it's like you're looking in the mirror, and then you try to earn more money by changing the picture in the mirror, but you're in the simulation trying to change the simulation, which just leads to sort of suffering. And this is the control. You try to control your reality. So what we are doing then in my sessions and what we are working on is that we instead go and change the blueprint inside of us. So this is our energy bodies, and then how the energy bodies relate to each other. And then this magically shifts the external reality. Yeah, should we dig into this a little bit more? Feels like, because for us it's basics, but maybe for your listeners, they need maybe your perspective on this also.
It's an interesting thing, I think. I don't know if I'm even the right person to attempt this one, Sam.
What about if you give an example how we've been working together?
Sure, yeah. I guess you facilitate a energetic work with people to help them sort of like resolve or move through emotional things that are kind of unseen in the physical and physical reality. One of these specific things is a sort of corporate coaching that relates to a person's relationship with their business, as viewing that business as a separate sort of like as an entity. And that was something that really, I think when we got started, I didn't expect it. And I'm, you know, even now, sort of, it's a tricky thing to describe the process of what, how that work is done. And, you know, maybe I'll throw it back to you for,
Yes, this is an area I'm very passionate about. So I'm working with several people in your position with companies. And since I'm so familiar with the spiritual world, where like in the beginning, it was being to being. So I interacted with beings like this. But then it went into fields, group fields. So every group has like one soul together. It's like a group soul. So every company then has, it's like one being representing that whole company. So the different people inside the company are like different parts of this being. So what I found is that when we interact with these, or when I help CEOs to interact with these, they're able to understand their company better. And we can actually talk to this being and he can explain his feelings about various areas in the company. And it's like fractals. So you have like the company and then you have different departments and we can go in to look at the different fields. And I also do this with my companies. So I just go in and scan the fields of this department, and for me, this is much more effective because we are dealing with the blueprint and then things change in the physical reality fluidly. So from my experience, the physical reality is very fluent. It's fluid. I know many people think that the physical reality is sort of fixed, set, and then you have to try to change. But after 25 years working like this, the physical reality is fluid. And just as you change, you harmonize the fields and then the reality changes itself. The people that are not supposed to be in one position just gets another job, or the client that is really good for your business is coming in. So when you harmonize the fields, it's like the right things are attracted and the wrong things are going away. So you work on this energy level of the company and then just let the magic happen in the third dimensional reality. And it's more and more people working like this. So I have many friends working with companies in this way. And you could say this is like 5D, company management. So like one friend of mine, he's like now fully employed in one group of companies. So his job is just to tune the fields. Like every day he's just sitting with meetings and he's giving them advice energetically. And this is what the kings used to do back in the day also. So you have these people that are able to see the blueprint of the reality and help shift it from inside.
And so to maybe just come back to a point that was made slightly earlier in the conversation about the new operating system and the move from control to decentralization. Maybe you could just sort of like connect the dots on those two, and you believe that this is, you know, as this change comes online for individuals, this is creating a new way of thinking about how to run companies and how to accomplish things as a group. I would just love to hear your thoughts on sort of that subject.
Yeah, that's a great question, because company leaders used to control everything. And this is like centralization. So that's also based in this idea that God created this universe as a punishment. I mean, you need to suffer and strive and fight and the conflicts and all these things. But if you twist this around and you say, God created this for us just to enjoy and explore, you know, then you have this sort of freedom feeling. You're not afraid, basically. And when you're not afraid, you can allow things like companies to grow organically by themselves. So in the old paradigm, we are controlling, we are based in fear. And we try to do it the way we learn in business school or whatever. And this one, the new operating system, is just, you're just relaxed because you believe or you understand that the universe is positive. It's working for you. And if it gives you some problems, it's just inviting you to see a new possibility for this, a better optimized version of what you used to do. So when we're doing things in the old way and then we get a problem and we work harder, but in this new system is we're doing things in the old way and then it gets a problem. We see this as an invitation or a gift. Something maybe we should change there to allow it to just naturally flow, where we have more and more people now allowing the company to guide the CEO rather than the other way around. So if you come into this mindset that the company is a soul, like a very powerful soul that just wants to explore and be creative, and it comes from source, so it's just natural abundance. It wants to grow, it wants to expand, explore, and it wants to be abundant like everything else. So then we just allow this, we let this happen. And sometimes it goes against our models of reality, what we have learned, because it's so creative and it expands in new ways that we couldn't imagine. But if we have this trust, then we're just surprised and just like, wow, the company just wants to expand this way and do this. And so how it is, it's like being employed, or you're a participant of your own company, where you're not leading and controlling, but you're holding space for the company to just grow organically and evolve. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me. Do you think that, I guess this is sort of a chicken and egg question, but ideas that people can make sense of because of other things that now exist. So Bitcoin is a great example of this decentralized money system. And, you know, I think that for a lot of people who understand Bitcoin, understanding, you know, the decentralization of one thing, how that works, creates sort of a pattern or a roadmap to start thinking about how other things could decentralize. And I sort of have this belief that Bitcoin, it could be one of the sort of critical paradigm shifting ideas that really enables the imagination of a different way we think about civilization. And I wonder, you know, do you think that which comes first? Does Bitcoin happen because, you know, people are ready to start thinking about ideas like this, or have people started thinking about ideas like this and a technology like Bitcoin emerges as a result?
Yes, I think it's Bitcoin emerges from the rising consciousness at this time. But you can also see it the other way around. But it's probably most people have heard of New Age. And maybe many people think, oh, it's a scam or something. But if we look at the ancient teachings from all corners of the world, then they're all talking about these big cycles, like Kali Yuga and in India, and then the Mayan calendar. So if we go into those rabbit holes and start seeing this with earthly cycles, where basically the frequency level of the planet changes, it goes like lower frequency, and then we are more fearful, more conflict, and then in other periods it goes up in frequency and we are able to enjoy abundance and following our hearts. So it's said it goes between these kind of operating systems. So then the new age means that we are now going up in frequency. So that's why people have like spiritual awakenings like us, where it's just we used to maybe sit somewhere and all of a sudden we get like visions, or it's becoming more popular with spirituality. And this is because the planet is increasing the frequency and we are going to a higher consciousness as a species. So it's like an evolution of consciousness. And then Bitcoin is just coming very nicely into this, just as we are about to step into a higher frequency. And Bitcoin can then be sort of the infrastructure of this new world in a higher frequency, where we don't need fear and control and conflict. And this is what more and more people are stepping into every day, letting go of the fear and start trusting the universe. Looking for like synchronicities and using the intuition to do things rather than the old models that we learned in school.
Hey everyone, quick question. Have you ever thought about starting a video podcast like this one? I want to introduce you to the team behind my show, Podigy. This podcast has been one of the best marketing tools for our business. And thanks to Podigy, all I have to do is hit record. They handle everything else, editing, writing, publishing, and making sure that it's perfectly optimized for every platform. They only work with disruptors, mavericks, and changemakers, people making a real difference, spreading big ideas. Typically, Podigy is fully booked, but right now they have a few spots open for new clients. Listeners of this show get 10% off launching their own podcast or optimizing their current one. Click the link in the bio for a free one-on-one podcast planning session with Podigy. If you are thinking about starting a podcast or you have one and you want to take it to the next level, I can't recommend Podigy enough. Check them out. One of my favorite books on the subject is called Stalking the Wild Pendulum. It was written by someone named Itzhak Bentov in the late 70s, I think. And it's a model for explaining the evolution of the universe through the idea that everything is consciousness and that consciousness is always expanding. Like the intrinsic nature of consciousness is that it is always expanding. Great book for anyone who's listening and this is totally new to you and you're looking for somewhere to start. Yeah. You know, something you said there had me thinking about, you know, you mentioned earlier about how leaders would have gone to business school and, you know, we are products of this centralized control system. It's not just finance, you know, and I've talked about this on different shows. Really, this is an idea that I attribute to Lawrence Lepard, who was on the show in about a year ago. Lawrence talks about how really the 20th century, among other things, could be viewed as sort of the time of the peak of centralization, where this is just what was required for the time. So it wasn't just the centralization of money and banking, but the centralization of assembly line manufacturing and sort of all of the processes for where humanity was and needed to get to where we are now. The step in the middle was sort of like choke points to make sure that everything could be sped up to move things around the world. And that time, like all other things, has sort of like lived out its usefulness. And so it's just that we right now are in kind of this awkward transition phase where it's no longer the best way to organize things, but it's just not obvious to everyone yet. And we haven't quite yet maybe arrived at a place where things are fully ready to unbundle. And it's not a light switch, right? It's going to be a little bit of a progression. What are your thoughts around the time it will take for a process like this to unfold? And are we talking about decades or centuries or months? I'm a big fan of the fourth turning, and the fourth turning book postulates that sort of by the end of 2030, the world will be, you know, potentially unrecognizable from the world we grew up in.
What I see is that we are now in the big divide where people are choosing in which direction they want to go. It's more and more people stepping out of the fear-based operating system. But then there are many, many people that sort of double down on the fear-based operating system. So you have people moving out, and that's a very scary process. So letting go of all your beliefs and trusting the universe, it's a scary process. But the thing is that when you do it, you start attracting everyone else who did it, because everyone finds themselves surrounded by fearful friends and family. And because of your vibration there, you cannot attract friends who has already broken out of it, because you only attract similar people. So it's a very lonely and it's a very strange inner journey. Like you find, okay, it's something inside of me that just wants to shine out in all directions. And you sort of maybe then are drawn to books and so on. And when you then start acting on this and believing in this, that's when you meet this all other civilization where everyone lives in joy and abundance and unconditional love. So many, many people go in this direction and they find that it exists. It reminds me of this, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio and this island in Thailand that, you know, he don't know if it exists. It's just like a dream, and you have to risk so much to get there. And maybe it doesn't exist, or maybe you can't find it. And this is the spiritual journey, I find, because you only find these fearful people sort of warning you, no, don't go there, stay in the old system, don't go there. And then you have to face your fears, start acting very differently, start taking like random intuitive actions. And these small intuitive actions is actually guiding you to this place. And then one day you actually find that island, and you find it's millions of people just living in joy and collaboration, where money is just like a byproduct of doing what you love. So that world exists and is growing and growing and growing. But then you have also the people doubling down on the fear. So they say, oh, stay in the old system. Okay. And then they try to convince everyone, I'll stay in the old system. We stay. And what they do is that they just bury themselves in like defenses and protections even more and even more. Because when you go out, you release all protection and you just open yourself, you open your heart. So we have lots of people going up and lots of people going down. So in my perspective, in a few years, this will just be, and the Sovereign Individual book talks about this, Sovereign Individual book, that some countries will be like dictatorships. And people who like that will live there. And other countries will be like paradises. And those who like paradise will live there. And that's how I see it. So I don't see it from this point of view that we will all live in the same world. It will be more multidimensional, where people choose their own frequency environment and just experience their own reality, which is already now, if you look around, people live in very different realities because they create their own realities. I hope this answers your question, even though I didn't give some years.
Yeah, I mean, and for listeners, you know, I think to draw back to Bitcoin, it's like, it's such an interesting thing because it is sort of simultaneously true for people that, you know, you can live in a Bitcoin world way where you are actually observing the price of everything dropping forever and experiencing a sort of a sense of inner peace that comes along with the understanding how that works and why it's unfolding the way it is. And at the same time, there are people for who, you know, Bitcoin is like a massive source of stress and represents an attack on the control system. And I think both of those are simultaneously true, even though they're completely, you know, sort of opposite perspectives and realities.
Yeah, it's a parallel process there, for sure.
Where do you want to go from here, Sama?
Yeah, maybe we take a quick little meditation here. Just tune in a little bit, see. Because it's also part of the new operating system, like to not do things out of stress and figure things out, trying to fix things. So we can use more like awkward silence. Awkward silence is only scary in the old system. So awkward silence in the new operating system is just an opportunity for reflection. So I suggest we just chill out and then just see what next topic will just naturally emerge. How does that sound?
Sure.
That feels good to me. Many topics flashing by. Let's see if we can go a little bit deeper. So I invite everybody to just feel your energy body. Maybe it's the first time you feel it. So this awkward silence is just a perfect opportunity for you to tune inwards. How do you feel in your body now? It's like this awkward silence. Is it bringing some tension in your body? Or maybe you can feel some energies flowing around through your body. The foundation in a new operating system is that we don't have to worry about anything. Can just relax in peace at any time. We're not chasing outcomes. Just allow things to unfold. Okay, I think I have a topic here. So DAO of Bitcoin, it's so beautiful. So how would you say that the DAO is working with Bitcoin? And how is it spreading this message by us being a monetary system?
Yeah, it's been a while since we've mentioned the book on the show, I think. And my book that was released last spring, The DAO of Bitcoin, is an examination of, you know, a phenomenon that you're describing that I think just use different words to discuss. And in the book, I talk about the idea that this process of centralization is a sort of an innovation of humankind. And, you know, we invent all kinds of things, put us together, and the power of ingenuity truly is no limitations. And most of what we create is temporary because everything is temporary in some way. And the argument in the book is that we've kind of arrived at the end of a temporary state where, like we've been talking about, it's a system of control. And that originally, these things made sense for the time that they were created and were useful in. But over the evolution of that period since, what we've really seen is a corruption of that process. And what we have today is a system where a small handful of people exert a disproportionate amount of power and influence over almost everyone else as a result of having this, what I would consider to be an unnatural control over the money system. And in previous times of human flourishing, where money worked better, the form of money was something that was much harder to manipulate artificially. So precious metals, rare stones, seashells, all kinds of different things that actually emerged naturally. And human beings in throughout the history of money would intuit something as being money because it exhibited the properties that made it desirable, that made it want to be money, something that you would want to exchange your time and energy for. And what happened over the last 100 years was innovation and ingenuity. We first decided that it would be simpler if we could just create a piece of paper that represented the desirable thing so that we could move the paper instead of the desirable thing. And then in 1971, when President Nixon permanently suspended the redemption of gold, we were sort of effectively severed any meaningful relationship between the piece of paper representing the valuable thing and the valuable thing. And so that has a, you know, I think when I talk about what does this have to do with the Tao? In Taoism, the sort of natural state of things is harmony. And if there is a disharmony that exists, the Tao is kind of like this self-correcting, encompassing system that will eventually work out the problem on its own. And so this is where Taoists sort of have a very peaceful and relaxed view of how to go about problem solving, because there is a sort of broader sense that things should follow a naturally unfolding process and in the end will work themselves out. And this is what I think is going on with central banking. And it is actually also undergoing its own sort of natural evolution that will play itself out. All fiat currencies eventually hyperinflate. And this has happened to every fiat currency that's ever existed. And so there's no reason to believe that this won't happen again with every fiat currency that currently exists. As Seyfedean says, all fiat currencies are hyperinflating just at different rates. And so for me, it's this idea that the Tao is a force that is a creation. And so it's a gift-giving machine that never runs out of gifts. And Bitcoin, to me, is one of those gifts. It's something that has been, that has like emerged kind of naturally. And this is a signal that it's a natural course correction that has presented itself for us to find a way to move forward and live in harmony together.
Yeah, because these centralized monetary systems, they are forcing everyone to live in fear. Everyone is just living in financial scarcity and fear, even if they are rich many times. And this is then forcing everyone to act against the Tao, because when you're acting from fear, you're blocking the Tao. The Tao or the flow, you can only harmonize with it when you're peaceful. You sort of become one with the flow or the Tao, and you allow things to unfold the way they should, or the natural order of things. So this is why Bitcoin is really like a savior here, because in a practical sense, even though I work mostly in blueprint level with soul to soul, in the external world, in the practical level, the monetary system is destroying so much of our opportunity to live in joy and abundance. So the abundance comes when we surrender to the flow and we allow our life to flow with this river of life, the Tao. And if we look at the planet right now, then the big scam is this financial system holding the fear system in place. So becoming a Bitcoiner and being on this side of the revolution is an honor. And then we could look at within the ranks of Bitcoiners, we still have people that think that Bitcoin needs to be forcefully put in place. Now then, we are still looking at the old system of control, but it's sort of a natural reaction. You see the reality, you think Bitcoin is the savior, and just use the old fighting mechanism to try to put it in place. So we have this rank of Bitcoiners forcing things, and then we have the more peaceful, just Bitcoin, just live with Bitcoin and allow things to unfold. And then that's in the camp where you and I found each other.
Yeah, that's a great way to phrase it. Yeah, I talk about this concept in the book as well. The harder people might want to push for Bitcoin to forcefully replace the current system, this is a Taoist idea that the stronger the opposition will be. And it's just not the way this kind of needs to go. Because, I mean, even just, it's just a matter of helping people understand that this is a voluntary opt-in system that benefits every person who chooses to participate in it. So, you know, under those conditions, you don't really need to force anyone to do anything. It's, but there is a gap that exists today in the number of people who understand why that works.
Yeah, because when we push, we create the opposite force. So this is like when we stay in the DAO, but this takes a lot of patience and trust. So if we try to push anything, we just create an opposite force. Yeah, that's the I Ching also saying.
Mm-hmm.
Here it comes again, the awkward silence, the powerful silence. So it's a practical approach to bringing in this new operating system. Like, it's like we're saying, are the Bitcoiners that force things? And we can say also the podcasters. So we can talk about Bitcoin or we can talk about DAO and flow. But if we wouldn't communicate in flow and allowing things to unfold in this conversation, then we would be hypocrites. So here we are. This is the moment. I'm just riding those waves. Have you ever heard of the book Transurfing?
Yeah. Actually, I'm listening to it right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There you go. It's another sort of model of the same thing, right?
Yeah, it's fascinating, I think. You know, and it's sort of like this first scene in The Matrix where Neo has taken the red pill and touches the mirror, and then his finger sort of becomes part of the mirror. And like this first step for people in considering that there is more happening than what we see and feel in the world around us. And I probably watch The Matrix like every 3 or 4 years, just to partly like I'm amazed at how that movie was made when it was made, and some of the ideas that were put forth. And you know, it really shows, I think, how much times have changed. When that movie was released, it was really mostly, I think, regarded as a sort of cerebral action movie, but there are all kinds of kernels in there that breadcrumb trail for people to follow if they're interested.
Yeah, it's my favorite, and I like the fourth one also. It resonates with me because I'm in this age now, so it's really good. Did you come to the part in Transurfing about inner intention versus outer intention? Did you get to that?
I'm not there yet.
It ties in. I think it sort of helps to understand what we have been talking about here today. So inner intention is when we do things. So we do things in the world. And outer intention is just the external reality. So Transurfing, you work with both of these fields. They're not separate. So you are in your internal reality and you are your external reality. So your external reality is you. So in this book, they have so much emphasis on this outer intention. So you have your intention, you know, just Transurfing the fields. You're putting your intentions and then you're allowing the physical reality to shape itself according to this. So if you only use inner intention, like just doing, 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 you're staying in the same reality. You're just trying to fix the same reality over and over again. But when you sort of calm down, you feel into what you really want, aligning the heart and the mind, as they say, then the external intention jumps online, and then you just become like a player in your own movie. And this has been a reality for me for quite some time. But for people that are locked into the inner intention, of doing, fixing. They have a very hard time understanding or believing that this could be true. So yeah, I guess it would be interesting for you when you come to that. But maybe it makes sense already now.
Yeah, look forward to that part when I find it.
Sure.
For listeners who want to find you, you have put things out under various platforms. And is there anywhere that you want to direct someone who might have listened to this conversation and is interested to find out more?
I think LinkedIn could be good for now in a transition of websites. So LinkedIn could be good. You can put a link in the description.
Sam, it's been a pleasure. I look forward always to our next conversation. And thank you again for coming on the show to share some of your insights and perspectives.
Yeah, it's been really nice. Exciting to be here and to see what comes up in the flow. Thank you.
And if you're listening and you made it all the way to the end of the episode, I hope you enjoyed it and hope to see you again next week. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Block Reward. We're trying to do something different here, creating accessible conversations meant for people who aren't obsessed with Bitcoin. If you found this episode informative and engaging, hit that subscribe button to make sure you stay updated with future episodes. Your feedback matters. We'd greatly appreciate it if you could take a moment to share your reviews and help us with our goal of creating Bitcoin content that is simple and easy to understand. Bitcoin has an important role to play in the future of finance. It will change the way we save, spend, and invest. Discover why Bitcoin offers a game-changing opportunity for forward-thinking employers by visiting blockrewards.ca. Block Rewards' mission is helping Canadian employers implement strategies for integrating Bitcoin into compensation and benefits. Supercharge your recruitment and retention strategies and help your team members plan for the rising cost of living by rewarding their work with the hardest money ever invented. Special thanks to our top sponsor, Paramount Employee Benefits Consulting, Canada's only Bitcoin-forward benefits and pension advisory. For more information, find them at paramountbenefits.ca. Big shout out to Podigy, our production team that makes all this possible, and BMX Escape for producing our music. Bitcoin is an expansive and dense topic many people walk away from early. To Bitcoin enthusiasts looking for that podcast they can share with friends, family, and colleagues, one they'll actually listen to, we hope that is us. The content of these conversations is meant to be provided for information purposes only. Nothing here is investment advice. Bitcoin is a big topic. Be sure to do your own research before making any personal financial decisions. Thanks for listening.